The time is almost up. Thanks for listening to Big Band Broadway and Beyond. God bless, and if anybody asks, tell them Joe sent you.
Must we let it end? And where go the echoes of our laughter ringing the air? Oh, wherever the time goes, I will see you there. I will see you.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
Well, here we are. It's the new WHFR Journal, and thank you very much, DJ Joe, back at the station. This is Jay Koronek along with John Conroy. Wait a minute, John, we've got to get you your headphones so you've got a microphone in front. All this technology here. There you go. Whoops, wait a minute. We're live from Dearborn Homecoming, and we have our WHFR tent all set up, and our big WHFR CD and vinyl sales tent is set up right next to it. We're right by the carnival area, and right before you cross the covered bridge into Ford Field in West Dearborn. We're north of Michigan Avenue off of Monroe Street, if you're looking how to get here. There's free parking around Michigan Avenue, and a little later today there'll be free parking available at Dearborn High School, which is north of Michigan Avenue off Outer Drive, and there's free shuttle rides in from that. But that won't start until, I think, about 5 or 6 o'clock. We'll give you more of the Dearborn Homecoming information during the show. But, of course, our show is the new WHFR Journal. Today is August 7th, 2015. And we try to summarize the local headline stories and events and keep you informed. So we're going to do some of our stories along with homecoming information, which will be broadcasting reports on WHFR all weekend between 11 and 8, not just today, but tomorrow and Sunday also, because there's new stuff happening all the time. And it's extremely exciting out here, and it's a great event. Hope you can get down here sometime. I thought I would ask John Conroy, first of all. Both John and I attended the open house this Tuesday for the new Dearborn Administrative Center on Michigan Avenue, and they also made it a co-event with something called Neighborhood Night on Crime.
It was called the National Night
Out. National Night Out, but it's the night out with the police, And in this case, I was happy to see they invited the fire department of Dearborn to come by, too. And we had people from the Detroit Police Department and Wayne County, especially their armed forces, if you will. Their armored vehicles, and they have quite a variety of things, including, I think it was the Dearborn people that had a and I think it's related to the police department, a diving team?
Yes, Jay, they had an array of diving team equipment. A helicopter was there, robots for fighting crime and helping the SWAT teams, a number of different setups throughout the whole parking lot. And they were visiting, people were, and there were people manned behind each area and happy to talk to you. And it was partnered with, I know this is a commercial, but we're non-commercial, but it was partnered with Target to run this whole show.
It's great to, mention sponsors. Dearborn Homecoming has many commercial people who are sponsors. I think the big one is Oakwood Hospital. They're the primary sponsor here. Yes. Soon to be called Beaumont.
Already being called Beaumont.
Yeah,
they're
just changing the signs on the hospital in Dearborn to make it Beaumont Hospital Dearborn.
And Trenton has already changed.
Is it Beaumont Hospital Oakwood? No, I think it's Dearborn Hospital Oakwood is what they're going to call the former Oakwood Hospital.
And the Beaumont name is prominently displayed in Trenton already.
One of their own little information tables here at Dearborn Homecomings is Beaumont.
They had
great attendance at this event. I was kind of surprised. Of course, the weather's been great this week. It's great this weekend. Everybody wanted the free food, which was hot dogs, chips, and ice cream, I think.
They had, and also bottles of water. And there was, I know you got there at a different time than I did, so it was a different...
Yeah, there was like 80 people in line for the hot dogs. I got there first thing, and they didn't have the hot dogs ready yet, I think. It was 5 o'clock when they first started, so I didn't get a hot dog. But I got a couple Timbits inside.
Oh, very good.
The Dearborn Administrative Center.
And, of course, I was too late for the Timbits. They were long gone.
Yeah, I started the emergency food line inside for that.
When I got there, there were 80 hot dogs in a big pile and lots of water bottles. So,
Wow. So there wasn't many after you left, though, huh? Okay. But there were, besides events, individual displays and police and fire and Detroit, people from Detroit and Wayne County, usually police enforcement out there. It was a great event because they were being very friendly with everybody and explaining things. I thought it was a little bit strange that the Dearborn SWAT team had their, assault rifles, the AR-15 type rifles, sitting out on tables so the kids could touch. They couldn't fire them, but they, let me touch that. There was no danger in that. The bomb squad was there, but no bombs.
No bombs.
I didn't see the jaws of life or any extrication going on, even though they had talked about trying to do that. Maybe they couldn't find a broken table somewhere.
We did see the dogs. I did see a couple of dogs.
Oh, a canine crew?
Crew. And I had a good chance to chat with the Dearborn Animal Shelter people as well.
Well, it looks like we have a small army here in Dearborn. That's our police force. And evildoers better watch out.
If anybody came to that who was thinking about doing something bad, they might turn around and go the other way.
Well, certainly at that event. Now, there, a couple of things happened that later on that I didn't catch because I didn't know they were going to happen. Mayor O'Reilly made a presentation inside in the chamber, council chambers.
Yeah, they gave certificates to what were known as good citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, there were some folks there that did good things for the Dearborn community or an individual, and Mayor O'Reilly was there as well as Chief Haddad and Debbie Dingell.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a little spiel about what each person did and brought them up to be recognized and gave them a certificate.
Right.
And also had their picture taken with the group.
That's great, yeah.
One of the certificates was given to a gal who was worked at Save-A-Lot. And she had
Okay, John, you better get some water. We're broadcasting live, folks, from Dearborn Homecoming and out in the fresh air which is drying us out a little bit here, but we'll make it through. I got my water bottle here too, John.
Right here.
So you take a drink if you need to.
I'm okay.
But one of the things that we've been talking about on the journal for the last couple of weeks is what, you know, we've been just sharing the ideas of the community, but what should happen, what's going to happen with the Orville Hubbard statue that is now in front of the former City Hall.
Yes.
Still.
Yeah.
And you asked Mayor O'Reilly about that.
Right. And he wasn't prepared to give me an answer yet.
He was non-responsive at this time.
Wow.
Yeah. I think probably at a future council meeting it's going to come up.
I'm sure it will.
There'll be a discussion at that time.
I agree he may not have been totally forthright about that, but what he was very good about was talking about why, with such a diverse community, why we're working on achieving goals and supporting the community and doing good things to see that others get recognized.
You know? Exactly, yeah. And
not only was the saved a person in a heart attack, but she also called for help from the EMTs, and they came and saved the man's life. And the man whose life was saved was there at the presentation.
Do they give automatic CPR training to everybody at Save-A-Lot, since they've got to save lives as well as save on items they sell? I wonder.
Well, but there was talk about making CPR training more available to people. And Recreation director, I also spoke with the recreation director's wife, who said that there is CPR training available in Dearborn.
Mm-hmm.
There were other certificates given for people that stopped some car break-ins, as well as people who were breaking into houses. They called the police to have that stopped.
Great. Yeah.
There was a number of, like I said, about 10 certificates that were given away.
Lovely, yeah. And it kind of relates to the police, I guess, that the FBI I wanted to give reference to here. We have a story that just came up yesterday on the Press and Guide website, although I had heard rumors about it the other day. People were talking about an FBI drone flying over Dearborn. According to this story, and here's the story, many residents are concerned after an airplane linked to an FBI surveillance program flew at least 7 times over Metro Detroit, including twice over the Dearborn area last weekend. Now, that was reported by the Detroit News. So this is just a little catch-up story here. And the plane was a 2010 single-engine Cessna Skylane, so it wasn't a drone. That was a small plane with a single propeller on the front. It's part of a small Air Force operated by the FBI. See, even the FBI has its own Air Force. Using high-tech cameras and sometimes cell phone surveillance technology from the plane, they can listen to your phone calls from the plane.
From the airwaves, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And, of course, they're only tracking alleged terrorists, spies, and criminals, which, of course, could be anybody. I mean, you know, unless you're checking on them, how do you know if they're a terrorist or not? So why not just check on everybody? And that's a satirical exaggeration. I do not believe that, folks. By the way, all opinions on this show are not necessarily those of anyone at Henry Ford College, although we thank them for allowing us to speak our minds, as long as we have one. An Associated Press investigation in June, by the way, revealed that the FBI had flown more than 100 flights in 11 states over a 30-day period. Well, if you got the plane, why not fly it? Maybe the pilot's going to get, forget how to fly or, you know, get rusty. Do pilots get rusty?
If they don't fly, maybe they do. No.
Or is it like riding a bicycle, you don't ride it for a while, but you get back on and you remember right away?
I think most pilots would want to be up in the air as much as possible.
Yep. But now we know that they're flying over a lot of places. There was a story last week that we didn't cover, but it's a story that relates all across the country. I'm sure Fox News covered it as well as other things. And that was about the Jake Helms 15, which is an exercise of all the armed forces of the United States in the United States, in almost every state, and they're doing all kinds of surveillance and getting troops together and loading, unloading trucks and, you know, military exercises. In other words, practicing what you might have to do in a supposed war or crisis situation. And a lot of people are afraid across the country that what this might mean, or, I mean, it doesn't seem they need this much practice in every state.
Mm-hmm.
And some people think it's, and these are very, you know, okay, conspiracy-type people who are, mm-hmm. you know, being overly cautious about what they might mean, but they think that maybe it has to do with some sort of roundup of people that disagree with the government.
Mm.
Just on any particular issue, just go round them up. And in fact, Wesley Clark, a former military leader in the Vietnam
right.
War,
yep.
He was quoted about a week ago in the American Free Press newspaper, which is not widely circulated, but it is out there, that he felt that our government, just like Israel and other countries in the Middle East, we should practice containment, which means in times of crisis, we should go round up these groups and put them in containment areas. In other words, like we did in World War II, reference, which is we took Germans, Japanese, and there was a third group, and we put them in really concentration camps.
Internment camps
in this country. Some were in New York State. A lot of the, of course, the Japanese Americans were actually part of in concentration camps in California, because
yep.
that's where most of the people that immigrated from
Japan
were, as closest yep. part of our country to Japan. So they were, but they were Japanese Americans. They weren't spies, and that was a sad part of World War II. And here's Wesley Clark recommending we do that again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but those people weren't guilty of anything. Just round them up anyway, just in case. Let's round up everybody. Let's have a military state so that nobody can do anything. Let's surveil all the time. Well, that's the exaggerations that, you know, I don't agree with. You know, I don't want to ever see it going that far, and we hope it doesn't. But the whole Jake Helms story was even in the Dearborn Press and Guide,
mm-hmm.
At least as it pertained to Michigan people coming by. And now this little to-do, and it was only twice that the FBI spy plane came over Dearborn. Seven times they came over Metro Detroit. We only had two of the trips. So
mm-hmm.
that doesn't seem like we got more than our fair share, because there is the north side of Detroit, east and
right.
downtown. So
two separate parts of Dearborn.
Yeah,
as well.
I don't see that. But I don't know what height they flew over. I mean, a lot of people saw this, but apparently it was clearly marked FBI, because that's what people reported.
Okay.
Some Dearborn residents, it says in the story to conclude, disturbed by the FBI surveillance, reached out to the House Judiciary Committee in Washington, D.C., in hopes that an investigation of the flights will be conducted. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Detroit and the FBI declined comment about the recent flights.
Hmm. And, of course, Hollywood's had their share of the movie called The Siege.
Yeah.
A long time ago with Denzel Washington and Bruce Willis and all that.
Well, yeah. And,
doing
and
that
so,
very thing, targeting and putting people in internment camps, and
yeah.
it was a scary show.
There, you know, it sounds like paranoia,
yeah.
but the phrase we used to use in the 60s, I was part of the hippies, you know, the college kids. And
okay.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
Oh, okay.
That was the phrase.
That was the phrase. All right.
I mean, in other words, it could be justifiable paranoia.
All right.
And there seems to be so much surveillance and so much militarism, maybe just because of all the publicity it gets, but Neighborhood Night on Crime certainly got a lot of military equipment out there.
Sure.
Which was scary as all get out, at least to yours truly. I mean, some people felt, oh, we're being well protected, but other people could feel that it could be used against you, maybe for no good reason, you know.
And but they also, I look at the other side of that is that they're trying to put a human face behind all the battery of equipment.
And that was the ideal part of the event.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad it took place that way. I, you know, because having the equipment and the tanks and that out there, that could be scary by its own sake. But the point is, they had the officers there explaining, talking
right.
to the community, talking to the kids, and being very sensible and knowledgeable. And I was thinking on my way over to the event Tuesday that it's too bad they didn't invite the fire department, but it turned out they did.
They did.
At least a couple of fire engines were there, because they're equally an important part of the community, certainly.
Huge part.
Police and fire, fire and police departments. We need them both, and they're both well-equipped and well-organized and well-trained in Dearborn. So I don't think we have much to worry about in terms of incidents in other part of the country in, in terms of excessive use of force or military-like tactics like tear gassing, you know, and so on for when it wasn't really necessary. So anyway, it was a big event, and a lot of people at least were attending at 5 o'clock. I know the parking lot was filled there. What did you think about the council headquarters, last question here?
Right.
And the building.
Right. We had, as for the presentation of the awards, we were in the council chambers, and that looked, it was a very well-kept area, lots of seating. There were probably, I want to say, 60 chairs.
Well, that
would
be my guess at most.
Yeah.
40 to 60. Yeah.
40 to 60, and it was a, you know, they did a nice job in there. The folks all were very courteous, and I thought they did a good job, you know.
But really only about half of the first floor of the Dearborn Administrative Center, the new City Hall folks, was open.
Right.
The other, and there weren't, I thought they might have, every department would have someone representing that department standing there to answer questions like, what do you do in the cashier's office typically? What do you do? And maybe people might have a question. Cashier's office handles voting,
right,
and registration and that. And, you know, so, but there was no, other than the people in the lobby, which were like general
information
table.
Right. Those folks in the lobby told me that if you had a question about any of the departments,
they would try to answer.
They could answer the question.
Well, that's good. That's
and they entered my name, actually, and just to show me that if you wanted a certain department, you put your name into a computer bank, and then there's a screen that shows up behind you that has my, had my name on there, that I could see my name. And then, that, and then the department that I was asking to go to, was it was directing you to where that department was.
Yeah, you could physically walk up to most of the areas that, that would give service, but my point is they didn't have people in those areas.
Right.
To greet you. They, so
right, those offices weren't
open. And the second floor. I mean, I raised questions on this show. Yeah. What do they use the second floor for? And it turns out that Tuesday night, the second floor was completely locked. You could not even go up there.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have anybody to be up there. But they made a video. They had the AV department make, I would say, it's like a 4 or 5 minute video of wide-angle pan shots of each room area.
Yep.
But they still have, it looked to me like you can't tell the distance when it's a wide-angle lens how big the area is. You know,
right,
it looks bigger always than what it really is.
Yeah.
But it looked like about a third of the floor, of the second floor, was open for some future possibility.
Okay.
You know, and, but they do have, like, small work rooms and some other offices on the second floor. They just, you couldn't go up there. And you couldn't, for those people in the community that think there's still water leaks from the ceiling, I couldn't tell that from the video, let me just say. Maybe they edited that out. But so we can't dispel all the rumors about the new City Hall because we weren't physically allowed to go in to more than about half of one of the two floors.
Right.
And that was it. But, I mean, they were willing to answer questions. You just couldn't see it except on the videotape. So, oh, well.
Well, one more additional thing is that the art space people were there in great force who were going to occupy the old City Hall. And they were very good at answering questions and giving flyers and brochures out. And I thought that was they did a nice job.
You're listening to the new WHFR Journal live from Dearborn Homecoming. We're live on location today, John and I, Jay Koronek with you, and John Conroy. And remember, we're all about alternative points of view and Dearborn and the surrounding area news. And why don't we go back to Dearborn Homecoming again. We're in West Dearborn, north of Michigan Avenue, off Monroe Street. There is parking at the field, but it costs $10. Free parking north and south side of Michigan Avenue. And, of course, it's it used to be paid parking, folks, but now it's free parking in all the city lots, north and south of Michigan Avenue, West Dearborn. It's only about a five-minute walk up Monroe Street, and you see the Ferris wheel and the carnival setup even from Michigan Avenue, I think, in Monroe.
We've got a beautiful there. Couple lovely Disney characters right
yes,
in front of us
yes,
right now.
Yes, they are. It's a true fantasy, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Yep. One from, I don't know where the second one was. Is that Snow White? And the other is a character from Frozen.
Frozen, okay.
Frozen,
all right.
Yes. Yeah. But and the weather, speaking of Frozen, it's beautiful out here. It's
gorgeous
in the high
day.
70s or low 80s right now.
Yeah.
Sunny with just a little bit of patchy clouds. You got to get out here today, tomorrow, or Sunday, and all kinds of things that you can have fun with. Of course, the big carnival. What's coming up this afternoon? Well, I'm looking at this here. The food court and community tents. The community tent has a number of nonprofit groups like Dearborn Animal Shelter, and that's been open early. The food court was not open at 12 noon. And I didn't get a chance to take a look at 1 o'clock, but a lot of them were just getting set up, and I think they're probably serving food by now. The food trucks, though, are going to arrive to supplement what these fine vendors already are doing, and they'll be getting here about 5 o'clock and staying till 11 tonight, so a lot of time with that. Other events, at 5 to 8, we're going to get the famous, in a way, Willie T. Clown. When the T stands for the, of course. And he's going to be performing down on the field at a couple of locations. Whatever DT and S stand for. They've got the map, but
right.
Let's see. I've got it. I see it. It's, no, I don't see it. Oh, there it is. Dining tent.
Dining tent.
Is DT,
yep.
And S is strolling the grounds.
Strolling the grounds.
So you want to come and see Willie T. Clown from 5 to 8. But also 5 to 10 p.m. On the Italian shelter, a group called Musically Yours will be performing. Free entertainment, folks. And 6 to 7:30, Junction Groove. It sounds more like a rock and roll type group, I bet. They're going to be in the main on the main stage, and they're one of the leadoff acts. Now 7 to 9 on the field in the dining tent, they're going to have free yogurt. While supplies last, and I bet there's another problem with lasting the supplies much after 7 o'clock. But Yogurt Town, which is a vendor in Dearborn here, they're going to be providing the free yogurt from 7 to 9 or until they run out.
And it's going to be in the DT, the dining tent.
That's right, yeah.
You know that now.
7 p.m. Cruising Dearborn Car Cruise begins at the 19th District Court east of this area in sort of the middle of Dearborn. And they come down Michigan Avenue driving slowly, 40, 50 cars or more perhaps, and they will be winding up here at the field. In fact, driving in right past the WHFR tent. We'll have a great seat here if we're here at that time.
Hmm.
And going over the covered bridge and down on the field. So if you come to enjoy the food and the dining and the music for this evening here, you can also browse all the beautiful cars. They'll
cars.
Be all parked around the field. All some of them are very, you know, old collectible cars, and some are very fancy modified cars, and others are just great cars you'd love to have a ride in, but they don't give free rides.
Hello.
So
hi.
So of course we're getting to the big story, and that is a lead group on the food court stage. Before the big performance tonight, 7:30, 8:30 is a group called Armed and Dangerous. So we don't know what they're armed with,
yeah.
But maybe they're playing guitars with their arms or something. That would be logical. But Bugs Bedow, and of course, he's very special because he spells his first name with a small b.
Small b, right.
So it's Bugs with a small b, folks.
He's a minor annoyance, I guess.
I guess. Oh, bad pun. But he's one of the, he's got the one of the tightest, greatest rock and blues bands in the Detroit area. He's on our Uncut 3 Studio Blues album that we're still selling, in fact, here at Homecoming, that we recorded a few years ago. Just one of the best local blues groups, and you're just really going to enjoy Bugs Bedow and The Good Stuff, which is the name of his band these days. A lot of other things happening this weekend. The only thing that's not happening tonight, for those that don't know Homecoming, you hear, oh, I think they got fireworks, don't they? No, that's only Saturday and Sunday night.
I thought it was
Saturday and Sunday night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, glad we're clear on that. Well, okay, back to the news, and we'll give you a little more Homecoming details before the end of the show. Although, if you're listening to the show on a podcast, you say, I don't want to know. I'm listening on Tuesday. Homecoming's over with already. So I'm sorry you missed it. Maybe you can plan ahead for next year. Okay. Tomorrow, well, here's another thing that you might miss if you listen to the podcast too late. Dearborn Heights is having a citywide garage sale tomorrow, August 8th, during the day. And it's from 9 a.m. in the morning to 4 p.m. at the Canfield Community Center. More than 150 vendors are expected to be there selling new and used items or to swap stuff with buyers. So that's always popular, and everybody is welcome to attend. The sale will take place rain or shine. I think it's going to be great. They have free parking at the Canfield Center there in Dearborn Heights, too, as well as handicap parking, too. This is their 11th year, and it's always been a big success. And official quote from Mayor Daniel Poletko out there, he called the garage sale a great event.
A great event.
Is that a keeper or what? That is quote-unquote a great event, he said. So
he's the man that would know that.
Yeah, those politicians, they know how to use words, don't they?
Very good descriptions.
Uh-huh. Okay, what other stories are happening here? Okay. I've got, here's one from Trenton, John. So
okay.
You do that one.
Sure.
That's your area.
All right.
Well, close to Gross Hill.
Close to Gross Hill. Yeah, and it was in the News Herald that Trenton's youngest elected official announces his candidacy to be a state representative. Trenton City Councilman Steve Rezepa announced his candidacy for state rep in the 23rd House District. He is 22. He's the youngest elected official in Trenton. He began his term as councilperson in November of 2013.
Yeah.
And since then, he's graduated from Michigan with a degree in public policy, which is helpful for that profession that he's in.
That's a great program, University of Michigan. Yep.
Yes, and he served as an employee in the district office of former Congressman John Dingell. And he's quoted as saying, I've learned quite a bit in my time on council, but the most important thing I've learned is that people need someone who will listen and provide transparency and accountability. We need someone who will show the same work ethic that the people of this district have.
And it's interesting that being so young, first of all, he's got energy to campaign, but he's actually got over a year before the election will happen.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, so he's just announcing long in advance so he can keep getting people to know him that way.
Well, the primary election was held August 2nd. And I don't even know what the results were.
No,
2016.
That's right.
Well, you said a year away. It's
right.
2016, and
yep.
Will be opposing Representative Pat Somerville,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He won't be able to run again because of term limit laws in Michigan.
Right. So there is an open seat there from an incumbent. And
mm-hmm.
He's running as a Democrat, I assume. If he was with the Dingell office, he's got to be a Democrat himself. But I didn't see that in the story.
I didn't show that here.
I'm pretty sure he's going to be running as a Democrat. That would be very strange if he didn't.
Well, but the district includes Trenton, Gibraltar, Woodhaven, and Brownstown, mm-hmm. Gross Hill, and Huron Townships.
I'm just thinking of the opportunities for young people who are dedicated. I mean, it's tough being a politician and always asking for money and not putting your foot in your mouth too often. It really is tough. But another graduate in political science that ran in Dearborn Heights. Oh my gosh, what is his name? He became a senator. Dave Kinesic.
Oh, okay.
Dave Kinesic. We interviewed him on the show.
Yes, we did.
When he was running for his first office, but he went from being elected as a representative from the Dearborn Heights area to then, because there was an opening, running for senator. So now he's a senator to Lansing this area,
yep.
State senator.
Yep.
And he's still in his 20s, of course, he didn't even wait to be term limited. He just jumped to the next office.
Yep.
And that's sort of like what the guy in Trenton, he's moving from city council with only in his first term on city council to run for a representative.
And
this is going to be, is this the state rep?
This is...
He's running for state rep, not...
Council, yeah.
He's not running for going to Washington,
state
D.C.
State rep, that's right.
Yeah, just state rep. Okay, state well, it would be too big a jump, I think, to go from city council to running for Congress in Washington, but still.
We need fresh blood in politics.
Yes, we do.
So,
yeah, we need people who are smart and can represent their generation, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking as somebody who is not that young anymore. And we won't say our ages here, but...
We represent two generations, though, Jay. That's the truth.
Well, yeah, I'm the older generation. Yes,
not too much,
but yeah.
Yes.
And no, we need a representation, and we need young people to be encouraged to come out and vote. A lot of people say,
"Oh yeah,
well, there's nobody to vote for. It's only those old people."
No.
Well, I'm sorry, that's ageist. But I'm saying, really, they say these people don't represent us at all. They don't have similar backgrounds or knowledge or interests. And but if people, younger people, run for office, then maybe they'll get more young people into the system. You know, democracy only really works when people participate.
You need a voice. If you want to have a voice, you got to vote, and you got to
get involved, and you vote, and you work for candidates, and so hopefully the system can start renewing itself in many different ways, especially with younger people in office. And I'm not saying whether they should be Democrats or Republicans, but just you know, the other generation should be represented too. Okay.
Yep. I agree.
A little bit related to that was the story, and our signal does go into Windsor, so this is kind of Canadian news here, folks, but I saw on headlines from the BBC, that is British Broadcasting Corporation, a story about Canada. And oh my gosh, and this is just, of course, in reference to the fact that last night was the first Republican presidential primary. And, of course, we have presidential candidates, that you know, Democrats and Republicans, that have announced 3, 4, 5 months ago, and the election is not until, you know, November 2016. So that's a campaign of, what, 18 months or more, equally long as the last time around. And it didn't used to be this long in the U.S. It used to be, well, maybe a month or two before the primary, like in August. It was starting that summer before. In fact, I remember in the olden days, the presidential campaigns wouldn't start until the convention, which was in the summer right before November.
After the conventions happened.
And you wouldn't really start your official campaigning until maybe after Labor Day.
Ah.
You know, conventions would happen. You knew who the candidates were going to be, but the campaign would. So that's only like a 3-month lead. Well, Canada now, this is the headline for the story from BBC, this year is going to have a very lengthy election period for campaigning. And the headline says that it could be the recipe for Canadian chaos. Canadians are often running what will be the nation's longest general election campaign since 1874. So how long is this going to be, remembering that ours is 18 months?
Yep.
78 days.
78?
Apparently the Prime Minister, this is Harper, Stephen Harper,
just less than 3 months.
He gets to choose how long the campaign is going to be.
Okay.
And because he's running for his fourth consecutive term, you know, our president can only run 2 times, but apparently their prime minister can go on forever.
I don't know the.
Well, that's the impression. Fourth consecutive term. Maybe he's limited to 4. I don't know. But sorry, Canadians, I don't know that. But how long is each of his terms?
Right.
4 years?
Yeah.
Maybe 4. But the point is, he said it's going to be 78 days, and that means that they're going to go and vote on October 19th of this year, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you were talking to me earlier when I brought up this story to you before our show about how great that would be in this country, how it would save on so much campaign money.
Oh, yes.
So much effort and expense and exhaustion from the candidates.
The ecosystem would be helped as well.
Yeah, we've got to say it's more energy efficient to only do 78 days.
Oh, yeah.
But it seems to me that the candidates wouldn't have to accept so much money from the people that have a lot of money,
right,
and therefore, or the lobbyist groups, you know, the manufacturing groups and so on, that lobby for votes or for people's favors, elected representatives' favors to vote maybe the way that they would prefer. And so there would be less, it would be, I think it would be more democratic to have a shorter election period. And it could be, you know, don't say it's not intense in Canada. It is. They, and they have multiple parties. There's at least 5 parties that will have candidates for prime minister that they'll be voted on nationally, maybe a few more even. Let's see if this article lists what those parties are. Yes, okay. Harper is with a group called the Conservative Party, of course. And then there's a party called the Liberal Party. And they're well known, if you remember, 20 years ago. Used to be a very popular Liberal Prime Minister. His name is Pierre Trudeau.
Oh, yes.
French-speaking, French. The people in Quebec province, Quebec, loved him because he could speak French fluently,
yes.
Of course. Well, right now, the Liberal Party in Canada, the leader is his son, Justin Trudeau.
Ah.
But he's kind of young. He's very handsome. Look at that. I'm showing John a picture there.
Right, he is. Looks like
yeah, he's very dynamic.
Early 30s, maybe?
And, right, and at most. Maybe he's 40, but he's very young-looking 40.
Okay.
You know, whether or not he'll attract people. There's other people who are, I think, a little more progressive called the New Democrats, and they have a candidate, Thomas Mulcair.
Oh, my God, my favorite.
And,
people
here are stopping by the WHFR tents, and they love our WHFR pens and free stickers and our new printed
logos.
Newsletter.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Good to see you again. When are you going to retire?
Yeah. We're broadcasting right now. I'm not going to retire.
We're on the air live.
Yeah.
Talk to this gentleman.
In the
yeah.
USA, right here, folks.
Where's
we're
Susan?
We're being heckled, you know.
Come
she's
over
there.
Oh, well. Too bad. Okay. Susan is down at the pond.
She's at the picnic table right there.
Picnic table. Yeah. Wow. It must be nice to be general manager of WHFR.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Now, we're
very
handling it. We're handling it, yeah.
We're doing
okay.
Fine.
Talking to the people while we're trying to do a show. And by the way, the New Democrats, which is, again, sort of a more progressive party than the Liberals in mm-hmm. Canada, they pulled off an upset victory in Alberta, beautiful Alberta province. And they also have a Green Party in Canada, as we do in the U.S., and another party that I don't know what they are. They're called Strength and Democracy Party. And last but not least, the Bloc Québécois, which is the party that's still in favor of a strong Quebec.
French
I'm not sure they're still preaching separatism, because they tried a vote on that a couple of years ago, finally, and it didn't pass.
Okay.
So whether or not they're still, you might say, carrying the flag, or their own flag
carrying
for that.
Carrying their torch.
They certainly want to put Quebec first and the French-speaking Canada first. So they do have a lot of support, of course, from Quebec province and eastern Ontario, too, for that matter. And some of the, what do they call them, the seacoast, the northeast provinces up there.
Oh, yeah. Prince Edward Island. And,
Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia.
We're forgetting
Montreal.
Something.
Would be
New Brunswick.
New Brunswick.
There
okay.
we go.
Yeah.
Okay, so those provinces.
Newfoundland.
Newfoundland, yes.
Yeah.
They frequently have French-speaking populations, too.
Yes.
A significant portion. Not as many as in Quebec. But and they get just fine. Apparently, where is the chaos going to come? Well, they think the chaos might come because they have, just like we do, it's called a voting system in Canada, first past the post.
Okay.
First past the post voting. And what it means, very simply, is that in an election, if you have multiple candidates, two candidates or 10 candidates, the candidate that gets the most votes wins. So if you have five or six or eight candidates, it's possible that somebody will win who doesn't have a majority of those voting for them.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, in the last election, as the BBC shares here in England, David Cameron of the Conservative Party in England, he won, and his party won 51% of the vote of the seats in their Congress, Parliament, as
mm-hmm.
they call it, and yet their party only got 36% of the votes. Because they were in power, they gerrymandered, they divided
they
the districts,
yeah. okay.
they did,
yeah.
just
yeah.
like we do in this country, just yeah. like Republicans did last time around, so that they would have more seats in these areas just by deciding, drawing the lines between where Republicans and Democrats or the other people in other parties happen to live.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very sneaky. There's ways around that. Independent commissions can draw very fair districts. As we know, in the elections in Michigan, a majority of people, especially for races that are statewide, like the Board of Ed and other races, they're Democrats. There's more Democrats in Michigan than Republicans. Now, I know there's independents, too. God bless them.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that it's gerrymandered, so the Republicans always get more people elected in the House and the Senate in Michigan than Democrats, even though Democrats are in them. So that's the problem with first-past-the-post voting and gerrymandering.
Right, right.
And it's a problem in England. But it's a little more a problem in Canada because, for prime minister anyway, they might have six or seven parties,
folks,
candidates,
right.
getting and splitting the vote. So it could be, I mean, what if there's five candidates and they all get 20%?
Right. Will they have another election to
somebody
whittle the people down?
No. I mean, the person that get one more vote, you know, 20% plus one vote will be the winner.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they can't possibly control Parliament. So they'll have to form coalitions,
yes,
between different parties. And this happens all the time in Italy, in France. I mean, it's very common that they form coalitions. But in Canada, they're not used to that. And, of course, in the U.S., we've almost never had third parties getting enough votes so that a coalition has to come about.
But there's no other set primaries for the numbers to be dropped down. It's going to happen right in the election. You know.
It's called comparative international political science, folks. I signed up for that class in college, and then I dropped it. It seemed too boring, you know. But
okay.
But it's very complicated. But it's interesting that the way we're doing it isn't necessarily the right way or the best way, and isn't the most necessarily the democratic way either.
Mm-hmm.
It's still... Democracy is still a work in progress, and so I bring up the Canadian election, if only because the BBC in Canada think, oh my gosh, 78 days, how will we last that kind of long campaign, which is only 2.5 months, and we've got 18 months or more of this that we have to still suffer through another 14 or 15 months.
I believe the day will come that we don't have as much campaigning time happening in the United States. I'm looking forward to that day.
Well, if it helps people get elected who are favored by the big money lobbyists and the rich people, they will want to keep it longer.
Well, certainly.
I mean, if it's to their advantage, they'll keep putting the money in, and therefore they'll keep all the primaries, all the debates going as long as possible. And, of course, none of these, you know, 12 months of presidential debates like the Republicans did last time, this is not in the Constitution of the U.S.
No.
This is not required. It's only done for publicity. Okay. It's too bad we can't get the three Democrats out and about, but there would only be three people on stage, and who knows what Hillary would say to Bernie and whatever that other... No, there's actually two other Democrats besides
Bernie Sanders
and...
Hillary and then...
we'll remember who they are.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But it's good to... It's fun, I guess. I'm sure I will see clips from the Republican debate last night.
I didn't stay up for that.
I heard the news this morning, and you know, it's still kind of a zoo with that many candidates, and everybody gets 30 seconds or 10 seconds to, you know, harangue somebody else. So
right.
It's not a productive intellectual experience for me. You know,
okay.
it's just showboating.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to vote on anybody, even if I did tend to vote Republican, which I'm not saying. But that wouldn't be a fair way to judge a candidate, I don't think.
No.
From just those experiences.
True.
Okay. Well, we're at Dearborn Homecoming, and if you're listening to our show live on Friday from 1 to 2, there's still great things happening today, which we talked about earlier in the hour. Briefly, I'll do Saturday, and you pick some things from Sunday, John.
Sure.
And we won't take up too much time. Tomorrow, Saturday the 8th, and again, we're in West Dearborn, north of Michigan Avenue, off Monroe Street. And West Michigan Avenue means that we're between Southfield and Outer Drive, okay? Come north on Michigan Avenue. Everything starts about 11 a.m. Oh, the kids' fishing derby in this pond behind the WHFR 10 is actually open from 8 to 11. They actually throw a bunch of fresh fish, living fish in the pond.
Okay.
And the kids can actually, they're giving them poles and they can fish. That's sponsored by the Dearborn Rotary Club.
There might be some fish in there. I just saw a couple splashes
down there.
They
might have stocked the pond already, you know.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure the kids would appreciate people dumping large bins of fish in right before they... they want to believe it's all natural.
They want to believe it's coming in from the river. You know.
Right. But they're not dead fish, folks. They're supposed to be live. Probably little minnows or something, you know, but
hopefully there'll be perch and sunnies and that type of thing.
The carnival opens at 11, and we hope the food court is going to be open at 11. The food trucks tomorrow arrive at noon. There's a kids zone and artisan area open supposedly 11 to 7, sponsored by Henry Ford Health System. They were not open this morning, and maybe they'll be open by this afternoon. What's very special and brand new, tomorrow the Access Arab American National Museum has their own tent.
Very nice.
And they have a gift shop, information, and henna tattoos and names written in Arabic calligraphy for a small fee. Mm. Kids games in the afternoons of all kinds, free giant inflatables to, I assume that you bounce on those.
Yes.
I think, yeah.
Are you coming to get your name in Arabic tattooed on your arm, Jay?
Hmm.
It
wouldn't be a very big tattoo with a name like Jay.
Right.
Probably a very small symbol.
The symbols would be interesting to see.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. Like paint a picture and stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
From 11 to noon tomorrow, marshmallow throwing. Noon to 1, free mosaic tile magnet craft. Kick the shoe contest, storyteller from noon to 1. Home Depot has a kids word workshop. A balloon blowing contest from 1 to 2. Oh, my gosh. And it just goes on and on. Magic, clowns, stilt walker, magician, all tomorrow afternoon. Corn eating contest. Oh, my gosh. And then in the evening, the big main event, the spinners at 8:30, followed by fireworks approximately 10 o'clock. Sunday, summarize that for us, John.
And where do those performances happen of those groups in relation to where we are right now, Jay?
Right over at the bridge and down on the field to the left. The big main stage, it's covered stage, even though the people who watch are not covered.
Right.
But over
the bridge. Okay,
right.
Great.
Over the bridge and into the woods.
Well, Sunday, more festivities include, we have a baseball throwing contest. That's going to happen sponsored by the Dearborn Firefighters Burn Drive. The Dearborn Big Band will perform from noon to 1 at the main stage. There'll be a donut eating contest at the same from noon to 1. So you enjoy eating donuts while you listen to the big band's play.
What if they're jelly donuts or cream donuts? Because then when you bite in, they're going to squirt all over. Oh, what a mess that would be.
Right, right. There's also, again, the free mosaic tile magnet craft, again, sponsored by the Arab American National Museum. There'll be a sack race contest from 1 to 2. All kinds of physical events that people can enjoy. And then the food trucks will be open as they have been, they would have been all weekend, and the carnival will be open as well.
Yep.
Later in the day, there'll be Polish Tatry dancers. I don't know what kind of dance that is, but it sounds like it'd be some fun to watch.
And FYI, I said in a break earlier today, the Polish area is just south of us here at WHFR 10 next to the carnival. It's not being run, it's not being organized and presented by one of the Polish ethnic groups in the area this year. It's one of the service groups, but they're providing Polish food. And I saw a press release that said that they have, I haven't been down there, but pierogies and all the usual Polish-type stuff, potato pancakes supposedly too,
all right.
are going to be down there. So a few people were very concerned that they wouldn't have Polish food,
and we got
especially
it.
Polish people. But
right.
But a lot of us like to sample widely here, and it's still here, this folks.
That's good. Well, then there's from 4 to 5:30 on Sunday, there's what's called a spaghetti slurp contest.
Mm.
I'm assuming that's eating spaghetti without using your hands.
Yep.
I've sponsored some of those contests before, and they are lots of fun.
That's got to be messy, too.
Messy as well. The Turbo Turtle Race on the Rouge River is happening 4:30 to 5:30.
Uh-huh. Yep, that's always popular.
And then later that night, the Phoenix Theory is playing, and the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra Pops Concert is from 8:30 to 10 at the main stage again. Mm. And Mayor O'Reilly should be here to announce that, or introduce that.
Give an introduction. He'll be introducing the spinners tomorrow night, too.
Well, very nice.
Yep. That's what the mayors do.
Mayors do a good job of that.
They get the big honor. Yep.
Yeah.
get to go out first on the stage.
Okay.
And, no, it's just going to be a great weekend. It's probably the best weather I've ever seen, at least for a Friday. The temperature is perfect. The sun is just warm enough. And we're having a great time here.
I just noticed this also on Sunday that Jenny Ann Clown is performing from 1 to 6 on Sunday, and that's sponsored by us, Henry mm-hmm. Ford College.
Yep.
Very nice.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going back to the news for a few moments, about 7 or 8 minutes.
Hey,
looks like 7 or 8 minutes to go before the journal has to conclude. And what's going to be happening today, Joanne Korczynska is taking the day off. And the Highway 61 show will start as soon as I get back to the station. Since I'm Joanne's producer, I know where she keeps the CDs. And so about 2:30 or 2:30-ish, we'll get started. And for those people that love one of my special favorite genres of the blues, which it's world music, but it's world music from New Orleans area, Zydeco, we're going to be having a little Zydeco tossed in this afternoon for sure. And just because I'm going to be controlling what gets played. But a lot of new blues, great blues, and, of course, reports from the field a couple times an hour will be coming in during that show, too. Here's... you need an official commentary here. Here's what Jim Hightower is saying this week. Of course, we don't have it pre-recorded, but I have it written out. So it's just a couple of paragraphs here. The title is Banksters. I think Michael Moore came up with that term, talking about bankers. They call
banksters?
Them banksters. Kind of a combination of banker and gangster.
You know,
that's what it means, banksters. But he says this is going to be a story of crime and punishment. So, Jim Hightower says, big story from that razzle-dazzle place called El Casino Grande, otherwise known as Wall Street.
Wall Street.
Four massive financial conglomerates, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Barclays, and the Royal Bank of Scotland, have been caught in a criminal conspiracy to rig the global currency market. Bank regulators have now slapped them with an equally massive fine, totaling... get this, $5.4 billion. The financial felons coordinated their illegal currency manipulation scheme through online chat rooms with devil-may-care names like the cartel and the mafia. The bank's culture of greed led to such a reckless arrogance that one of Barclays' price fixers offered this bit of ethical encouragement to his chat room pals. Quote, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, unquote. Hightower goes on. He says, well, taking a $5 billion hit will put an end to that sort of reprobate banksterism, won't it? No. While this was the first time that banks themselves had to admit that they are corporate criminals, all of them are free to continue doing currency trading, and no top executives were even charged for the crimes they oversaw. And while $5 billion is a huge record-level criminal penalty, it's easily absorbed by these global casino operations. And again, he's using that term casino in a negative way because casinos, of course, are the odds are set up against the people that are playing the games.
They're known for taking your money extremely
right.
well.
I mean, and it's fixed, but it's fixed that the odds are very high, 10 to 1, 20 to 1, 51 to 1, that you're not going to win, depending on which game you're playing. Now, of course, a lot of people say that going to a casino is fun, but the odds are against you winning. Yep. Maybe you win, but it's extremely rare, and so it's mostly for people that can somehow endure losing.
Yep.
I'm sorry to say. And when I've gone to casinos, despite the TV ads, I don't go on purpose, and I don't gamble. And maybe I've got a bias against casinos because of that. But I look around, and I see more people looking sad than happy.
Yeah.
Because a majority of people have lost. They have been losing. And money is important, and so losing is not good. Anyway, so he's saying the bankers are like casinos because they've got it fixed so they're going to make huge profits, not just a little profit. They're going to make huge profits. And then they do illegal things, they can make even more. In the first 3 months of this year, he says, J.P. Morgan Chase raked in $4 billion just from its fixed income and currency trading division, about seven times its share of the penalty levied against the four corporate crooks. So they can easily pay out of their profits
right.
their penalties.
Yes.
It's no big deal. They still got huge profits. Yep. We're concluding Jim Hightower's comment for today. Citigroup CEO called the punishment an embarrassment, quote-unquote, to his bank. But banks can't feel embarrassed, says Hightower, nor can they commit crimes. Only bankers can. And, as should be obvious by now, being embarrassed is no deterrent at all to their endlessly creative criminality. If we actually want to stop their crimes, the banksters themselves, including those at the top, must feel the punishment. And I think even John Stewart, this week, in his last week on the air, last night was his last night hosting The Daily Show, as they call it, on Comedy Central, after about 17 years on the air, he pointed out that in all these banking scandals in all these various years, only one person, not even a top banker, has ever been charged, found guilty, and sent to jail. One person. Mm-hmm. But none of the big guys who knew all about it.
Yep.
And some of them even continue getting their extra bonuses because they're such great managers.
Yeah, right.
I mean, if you do something illegal and you can afford to pay the fine and you're still making huge profits,
who's going to stop you?
Why wouldn't you continue doing it, too?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's got to change. I would think this is a recommendation to the U.S. Attorney General to start cracking down on this. But obviously, you don't want to stop our business system from being successful, right?
No. No way.
I think they should be fair, personally, you know, and there we go. That's about 30 seconds to go. Let's end on a positive note, though, John.
Yeah.
Homecoming is fantastic here. All the rides are in full session. I bet I can smell some of the food now cooking away. And WHFR tents, what do we have here? We're giving out our free pens, our newsletters. We're only down to three print newsletters a year. We do a monthly electronic newsletter, though, if you want to become part of that. Go to WHFR.FM and give us your email address. Yep, free stickers.
Free decals.
30th anniversary stickers. And in our, it looks like at least 15 by 20, if not 20 by 20 tent next to our 10 by 10 WHFR logo tent. And we're right across from the carnival area. You can't miss us if you're coming up the sidewalk from Monroe Street. That's our used CD and vinyl sale. We've got vinyl record albums, the big 12-inch ones. Mm-hmm. A lot of classic stuff, only a $1 donation for your choice of either CDs or LPs. And WHFR, we play unique music on the air. And so when we have to make room for the new music coming in all of our different areas, world, folk, avant jazz, indie rock, oh, my goodness. Show tunes, soundtrack albums, big band
jazz. Swing band.
Yep. It's going to be great. Well, this is WHFR Dearborn. It's 2 o'clock, and we're going to sign off from the Journal, but other reports from the field out here will be coming in throughout the day until 8 o'clock. But come on down to the field and visit the WHFR tent either today before 8 o'clock or tomorrow or Sunday from 11 to 8 p.m. And we've got lots of stuff to show you. We'd love to talk to you and meet you, our loyal listeners. Have a great time at Dearborn Homecoming. Hope to see you down here.
And have a great weekend. We'll see you soon, I hope.
Back to the studio. Take it away, Joe.
Okay, thank you, Jay. And